at the end, I live that out. And that living it out at the end is the part that is so difficult. It's the part that becomes quite hard to accomplish. And by the way, we've had trouble with people not hearing me. Are you guys hearing me, or do you guys want it cranked up? Cranked up? I've got a few thumbs up saying more. Can you give me more? All right. Is that more? I'm still not getting a total satisfaction here. So, all right. I'll just leave that up to the controllers back there if they need to crank it even more. So, so life is better when. Life is better when. Life is better when we communicate. I started thinking about this because this is an area that has been really intriguing to me through my whole life. And there's been times when I think I've been in situations that I've communicated really well. And there's been times when then I've realized later that I wasn't communicating as well as I thought. And it's just been a roller coaster in my life all the way through. And so I want to talk today about communication. And so those of you who think that I communicate well, you might think that seems reasonable. Those of you who think I am a terrible communicator might be rolling your eyes thinking, where is this going to go? But I really want to hit this point about life is better when we communicate properly. What does it mean? What does it mean to communicate properly? What does it mean as a community to communicate? This thing is wide open. There are just so many different ways that we communicate. There are so many things in communication that go way beyond just talking to each other. It's actions we take and things like that. So I wanted to start off talking a little bit about communication style. Like how do you communicate? What's the kind of the way you communicate and the actions you take and so on and so forth? And any of you guys remember when I talked about grace and truth back a while? How many people remember that? None. Excellent. Didn't remember any of it. Thanks, Stephen. You made me feel better. One person. In John chapter 1, it talks about Jesus. It talks about the way Jesus functioned. It talked about him being kind of the master of being able to be full of grace and full of truth all at the same time. And it's like in our lives, we think about these things as being conflicting. So I'm not going to spend an enormous amount of time on this, but I want us to think through that idea of being an extraordinarily graceful person and being an extraordinarily truthfully speaking person and having those two combined together. I want to read something to you. This is from John chapter 1. It's not from John chapter 1. This is from Matthew, late in Matthew somewhere. Anyways, that's weird that I typed that in wrong. Too bad. This is just before Jesus is going to be crucified, okay? So Jesus is hanging out around this table with his disciples. And I want you guys to listen really closely how he handled an extraordinarily difficult task. He says, when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with his 12 disciples. And while they were eating, he says, truly I will tell you, one of you is going to betray me. Okay, now, this is big stuff. Because he actually realizes that this betrayal is not just like, hey, you told my buddy Joe over here something about me that you shouldn't have told. This is the betrayal that he's going to go off and tell somebody some information that's going to help him be killed. Okay, so this is serious betrayal. He's hanging around the table and he says, one of you guys is going to betray me. Most of those folks were really sad and they began to say to one another, surely you don't mean that I'm going to do this, Lord, do you? And then he goes on to say, the one who's dipped his hand in the bowl with me will betray me. I don't know exactly what went on there. I don't know exactly how it happened. But it was beginning to point out that the one that was going to betray him was a guy named Judas. Thank you. Matthew 26 is where I was at. So then it goes on to say, Jesus replied, the one who's dipped his hand in the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. Woe to him. It would be better for him if he had not been born. And then Judas, realizing the finger was being pointed at him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." And Jesus says, "You've said so. You know, you've kind of admitted to this thing." And you kind of get this tone that Jesus is being incredibly truthful to him. And I used to think when I would read this that it was Jesus kind of putting the smack down on him a little bit. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. But I actually have realized over the years that I really think I was missing that. I think Jesus saying woe to him is more like him saying, "I feel sorry for this man. I ache for this man." It's not this thing of Jesus trying to, like, "I'm going to get back at you. I'm going to punish you." Because Jesus was dying for him, or was going to die for him, just like he was dying for everybody else. And it's this ability Jesus had to tell the truth, but not be this mean, spiteful person, and yet have this deep compassion in his heart. Communication style for us. Do you guys, are you more the grace person, or are you more the truth person? When you're communicating with people, are you picking the right people to talk to in your life? Are you picking the right community to hang out with in life? Are you married, and are you going and talking to folks in your life that your spouse would rather you didn't talk to? Are you making really rock solid decisions? Things just to think about. Communication is so much more than the words. Are you going to be seen someplace with a person that you ought not be seen with? Are you surrounding yourself with wise people at the right time? Communication and picking the right persons. Picking the right time. Communication style. Thinking about picking the right time to talk about things. Picking the right place to talk about things. And the last one I want to hit on a little bit and go into a little bit deeper. Over-communication versus under-communication. This one is near and dear to my heart. Do you guys have any idea what I mean when I say over-communication and under-communication? What do you guys think that means? If someone over-communicates or somebody under-communicates? I'm asking this because I just want some, I want something to happen here. You guys are kind of quiet. You're under-communicating. Thank you. Is that what you were going to say, Rob? Oh. Yes. Okay. Yep. Saying more than had to be said. Yep. Yeah, men don't do that, but women do. You're right. You're right. In Matthew chapter 5, there's an interesting little section starting with verse 33. Here it says, "Again, you've heard that it was said that people... Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you," this is Jesus, "but I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black." What it comes down to is that there were times when people would make oaths or they would make commitments. They would say, "I'm going to do something," and they would do it and swear it by something. And that kind of created a hierarchy for how important it was. Like, if you didn't swear that you were going to do something by X, then you might not even really have to do it. Like, if you decided not to do it, it wasn't a big deal, okay? And it was people beginning to cloud the truth and not keep the truth clean. He goes on to say, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. When I went to First Christian Church, I got on this board of elders there for a while. And I thought I was a pretty smart guy. Any of you guys think you're pretty smart people? Rob, excellent. Yeah. I thought I was a pretty smart guy. So I would go to these meetings, and I would sit in this meeting, and I'd have all these things percolating, okay? And I wouldn't say a word. And Brandon used to get mad at me because he'd say to me afterwards, "Why didn't you say something?" Brandon wasn't in the meeting, but him and I would talk a lot about the struggles that I was going through. And after the meeting, I would go home and I would sit at my computer, and oh, the words would flow. You know? Oh, and I was so proud of myself. I was like the kid in the Christmas story writing the essay to the teacher, you know, where he's, you know, I can't remember how he says it, but the, you know, the words flowing, and he's so convinced he's going to get his BB gun by this great essay he's going to write. And I would just type and type and type and type. And I remember I would just type just column, I mean, paragraph after paragraph, and then I would launch this email. It was always my post-meeting email that would go out. And it took me a long time to realize how I was massively over-communicating. I was creating documents and inboxes for people with way more words than needed to be said, way more information than needed to be said, way more things that needed to be shared. And I was also creating quite a burden on them. And I would always think it was odd that I never got a response back. You know, it takes time to get wise and learn these things. On the other side, I struggle with undercommunication. I struggle with situations where I need to communicate. I have problems with emails because I get a lot of emails. You know, you guys get a lot of emails? My emails work like a to-do list for me, okay? So my inbox starts filling up with emails. And a lot of days, more emails come in a day than what I feel like I can respond to, because I'm working through these things. I want to make sure I have graceful responses but truthful responses. I'm wanting to make sure, picking the right time, I don't respond too quickly, because sometimes an email will come in and it'll kind of rub me wrong, and there's fire in my fingertips. Right? And I'm going to type some stuff that's not going to be all that great. I kind of need to sit on it. Sometimes for me, 24 hours is a good time I like to choose. Sit on it. Don't go for it. Do I even need to respond on an email? Or is this a situation that really needs a phone call? Does it really need a phone call? This week I had a friend email me, and I really wanted to talk to them afterwards. It takes time for that stuff. But it causes a problem, because if you send me an email, and it's a really important issue to you, how many of you are kind of surprised if you don't hear something back within 6 hours? Steve, got one? You kind of expect response back, right? That's the culture we live in. And so what I'm doing is living a life that doesn't match that culture, right? Because I'm saying a lot of these emails, I'm going to sit on them for 24 hours, and I'm going to think about it. And yet you're thinking, if he doesn't respond back in 6 hours, he doesn't love me. In an appropriate way. Sorry, I had to say that. I was just so serious. You guys are so serious. I can't get there. Over versus under communication. It's really made me think about this idea of unnecessary communication. You mentioned gossip earlier. Unnecessary communication and gossip. Does the Bible have anything to say about gossip? A little bit? Let me read a few Proverbs to you. Gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. A gossip betrays confidence. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. Gossip, gossip, gossip. Who does the gossip destroy? You guys? Who said that? I heard of both sides. I think in my life, I often think about, I shouldn't say this if I'm being a holy person. Oftentimes I'm not, so I go ahead and say it because it's kind of fun. But I shouldn't say this because it might hurt somebody, right? I shouldn't say that. It might hurt somebody. But what we often forget is that Proverbs 11:13 says, gossip betrays confidence. If people start sensing that if they confide in you or they tell you something, that's going to go on. And all of a sudden, someday, it makes the full loop and comes back to you, and somebody says, you know, probably oughtn't to tell you this because so-and-so told me and they told me not to tell. And someone else told me and they told me not to tell. You start to lose confidence. And you're right, it's both. It's both. Not only are you hurting someone else, most of the things that God tells us not to do, they're as much for us as they are for the other person. It's just huge. So huge not to gossip. So huge. And then there's what I like to refer to as the gossip precursor. The gossip precursor. And you guys got friends that pry information out of you? And you guys pry information out of your friends? That is, I mean, it's like a party, right? It's like a game, right? You go up and ask somebody something and they say, yeah, I really don't feel good telling you about what happened to Joe last night. And you're like, yeah, that's no problem. So where'd you say Joe was last night? I really don't want to get into it. Yeah. You know, last week Joe went over there and I didn't think he should have been there. And I was just kind of thinking he might have went back there. You know, is that what he did? No, I really don't want to talk about it. Yeah, it's okay. You know, I tried to call Joe last night. Actually, somebody told me they thought they saw him over in that area last night. I've been worried about Joe. I care about Joe, right? I care. I'm a lover. So I care about Joe. And I just, you know, I'm just kind of thinking, you know, if you're really uncomfortable telling me, it's a gossip precursor. That's what it is. Prying for information. It's something that we as individuals, if you're trying to talk to someone and you're trying to love someone and someone is saying to you, hey, you know what? I really feel like I shouldn't talk about this. Honor that they're trying to avoid this because this is a good time. I'm telling you, there have been times in my life that I was good at that, and maybe I still am. I tried to be careful of that. It's a gossip precursor. And this last one is one that can sneak up on you, literally. Sneaky communication. Sneaky communication. I hope you guys, as I'm going through these today, I hope you guys can really be watching this and picking it out if it applies to you. I mean, I've got a number of these that are applying to me, and so I've been thinking about these over the last couple days. Jill and I talked for some time yesterday and again this morning about some of these and how they apply to us and how we see them and people around us sometimes. But sneaky communication is where, if you're, does anybody have any idea what I'm talking about, by the way? Excellent. Sneaky communication. It's sneaky. Sneaky communication is when you communicate, and usually it's you receiving communication that you ought not be receiving. A friend of mine at Arvin, now it's called Forsea, a few years ago. This is just craziness right here. So he's working on a project to control one computer in the building that takes data with a different computer in a different location in the building. And the idea was that he would be able to sit at his desk, log in to this other computer, and tell it what to do, and then it could bring the data back to his computer. And it was a really neat project. It had all these cool things we were going to be able to do. So he's playing around with it. And all of a sudden, he realizes if he hits a button, that computer has a microphone hooked to it that takes data. Not only could he make it take data, he could listen to it live on the other computer. So he had a microphone in the other end of the building in this little room where people don't normally go. And he could turn it on and listen to it. So he did. He turned it on. And all of a sudden, coincidence would be, there are people in that room talking, having a secret meeting. And the secret meeting was about him. And how much they don't like him. Now, he knows, my friend, he's a good man. He knows at that point, he should have hit stop. That's sneaky. Is that sneaky? That's sneaky. Kind of fun, right? Yeah, kind of fun. A little bit fun? No? Let me tell you what happened. He heard things that were said that ought not have been said. Okay, that's the way it was. But the people in that room that said those things about him that he was never supposed to hear, his perception of them never recovered. Until he left the company, he could not deal with those people. No, no. He was worried. There was some legal issues there. So he didn't want to go down that path. He was concerned about what might happen. Sneaky communication. If you have a spouse and they have email, and you hop on and you read their email. Anybody ever heard of anybody doing that? Heard of doing that? You read their email, and then you try to do things to make sure they don't know you read it. Like you go, like if you click on an email, what's it do? It says it's been read. You're caught. Ah, but if you right-click on it, you can say, change this back to unread, right? And now they don't know. Did you guys know you can do that? Ah, Jeff's like, dog! That would have been so useful. That would have been so useful. Sneaky communication. Sneaky communication. There's a thing in email called blind CC. I hate blind CC, but it's sneaky. That's why I don't like it. Blind CC is where you send a note to somebody, and if you blind CC somebody else, they also get the note, but the original receiver of the note doesn't know it, right? There are times blind CC makes great sense, but there are times that people use it in a really inappropriate way, sneaky communication. You want somebody to know. Let's talk about Facebook. Facebook can actually have a sneaky communication element to it, right? You can send stuff to people but include other people or maybe let the whole world see things. Yeah, those things can happen. I'll talk more about that in just a second. So, sneaky communication. You guys get anything out of this? No? Learn how to be sneaky. Yeah. You know, and that's where communication gets complex because what they sent to you doesn't sound particularly sneaky. Like they just sounds like they said something kind of mean. But if you could read into it, there was more going on behind the scenes. There was something else. Rather than just saying, hey, would you call me? I'd like to talk to you about this issue. Rather than just letting their yes be yes and their no be no, they're kind of maneuvering, trying to kind of outsmart you. Sneaky communication. It's not as big of a problem for you, I mean, for the receiver as it is for the sender. Because, again, it continues to erode our confidence in people when we have sneaky communication. Avoid sneaky communication. You guys know on the technology front, there's all kinds of ways to communicate. And it's so hard because they can be so great and they can be so harmful. On the texting front, if some of you are concerned that I don't respond back to you in 6 hours when you email me, how many of you guys have people that if you text them, if you don't get a text back within 2 minutes, you know something's up? Like something's not right. Like you expect instant reply on the text. Nope, that's good. At least from my perspective. You guys don't have anybody like that? That you expect quick response back? That's good. I certainly deal with some people that have struggled with this. So all of a sudden, you're in a very important meeting at work. And you're having a real one-on-one with your boss. And all of a sudden, your boyfriend texts you. And you've got this relationship with your boyfriend that you always respond back fast. Always. Instantly. Boom, boom, boom. And so now you've got this conflict, right? And so what I see in meetings at work, and I see this frequently, people will pull out their phone during a very serious discussion, maybe a discussion where they're being talked to, and they'll be like, yeah, uh-huh. And they'll be down here by their side trying to send a message in the middle of all that. And it's very obvious, and it's very destructive for them, texting. But on the other hand, you take someone like me, I struggle with texting. What happens to me is I get a text, and when I look at it, my phone marks it as read, and then I'm like, I'll get back to it, and I click off of it, and I forget it's even in there. Happens to me all the time. And then I realize maybe 2 days later that, oh, my goodness, so-and-so texted me. They wanted something. They wanted a real fast response on something, which is why they texted me, and I left it. Terrible. There's both extremes on that. Emailing. I said it earlier, but you have all these expectations. Phone calls. We've kind of got a rule at our work, which is that when we're in a meeting with people in our group, there are kind of two scenarios that are okay. If our wife or our kids call us, we all excuse that. Like if we're in the middle, it doesn't matter how serious the meeting is. If somebody's, because it's all guys in our group, if somebody's wife calls and they pick it up, all they have to say is, it's my wife. And we all like push pause, go take care of it, because we all view that as a higher priority. In most cases, at least. But beyond that, we have a high expectation that when your phone rings in a meeting, you just hit the mute button on it. It's huge. Same thing with our team on computers. How disrespectful is it? And have you guys ever struggled with this when you're in conversation with somebody and they've got either a smartphone or maybe a phone they're texting on, or they're on a computer, and you can tell you don't have their attention? Has ever been there? Casey, you've seen it? Does it happen at work? Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys see how complicated our culture is with communication? I mean, it's really, really complicated. And there's all kinds of things like this that can catch up. And one thing I found is be completely upfront. Sometimes I'll be on to a digital meeting online. So we'll all log in to this site and we'll be logged on. And I'll actually say to someone on the meeting, I'll say, hey, I'm just kind of watching this meeting from the side working on another project. So if you need something, holler at me and I'll kind of join back in. Because otherwise, after a while, they'll be hollering my name for something, and I won't even realize it's going on. Trying to be really, really upfront with people about what's going on. Or on the other side, if it's a meeting and they really want my attention, give them my attention. I walk into a meeting, I take my computer screen, I usually fold it down as soon as we start talking. That way I'm not even, because I'm telling you, the temptation is huge. I would be kidding you if I didn't tell you there's been times, Ryan's not down here, Ryan holds me accountable to this, that I've been in an important meeting, and I've been checking Mac Rumors. Anybody know what Mac Rumors are? It's this site that tells you all the latest Macintosh stuff. Herb spends all day on it every day. It's his baby. No, it's this site. It's a site that tells all kinds of things about interesting Macintosh stuff happening. And it's like if something new's coming up and I'm kind of interested, I mean, the temptation for me to just completely drift out of my meeting that I'm having, an important meeting, and go look at something silly like that is huge. It's huge, okay? Facebook, Doug mentions how much he's heard that I like Facebook. You know what's interesting about Facebook? A good friend of mine from Arizona, I just ran into over the weekend. And it was pretty cool because he was telling me about Facebook and how much it has, he works for a church, and how much it has helped. It's allowed him to do things in his work. So to him, Facebook is this really, really valuable tool. For me, it's not such a valuable tool. It's something that I'm not so big on. I think for some of you guys, for some of you, Facebook is a really cool thing. For some of you, if you're spending hours a day on it and it's causing you to lose friendships because of the little things that get said on there, and all of a sudden you find out so-and-so said this, or, hey, you were going to have so-and-so over to your house and now you figured out that they said they were busy but they actually went to someone else's house, and, and all these types of things, Facebook may not be your friend. But this is something I really want to kind of wrap things up here a little bit.
you guys think about that. Face-to-face communication, it might be the closest thing to experiencing heaven. That's my feelings. I have found, as I try to describe what heaven, what pure joy in life is, what's that look like? You know, as a little kid, it's like a street of gold, maybe? Like, that's what you hear about. There's streets of gold, so that must be something to do with streets being gold, you know. Or it might be the idea that I don't have to work. Like, that sounds like heaven. Like, I could play video games all day, you know, that kind of a thing. But as I get older and I'm starting to figure out, like, what is true joy? What is true joy? I find face-to-face. Face-to-face with a great Christian brother, one-on-one time, just working through life. It's just completely awesome. And all the things that technology leaves out, all the mannerisms and all the extra communication, it all seems to kind of like trickle away when it's face-to-face. I love face-to-face, but it takes time. You know, you only have so much time in your life. You can't, you know, I can't have face-to-face conversations with everybody in this room every week. There's just not enough time, to have a serious, long conversation. But when you get those, they are beautiful. Judy, I'm glad you brought that up. I thought about doing a whole section on listening, and I realized it's like a whole Sunday's worth, so I backed off on it. But it's huge. You know, if you think about the way we interact with God, it's a lot of listening on His side. You know, does God fire back the text message in 2 minutes every time we say something? It's like, how long? What's the longest some of you guys have waited to hear back on something? Still waiting. It can be years. And I can tell you that as you get older, you'll look back at those things. Doug would tell you this, I bet. Not hate to put words in his mouth, but I bet you Doug and Brandon would both tell you this. As you look back, you realize that many things that God did for us took years to get there because we weren't ready for it. You know, we just weren't there. We needed to live through certain things in our life. And God didn't want us to experience pain. But He knew it was the only way to get us there. He just let that go on. Yeah, Judy, you're right. Listening is huge. It's an art. It's massive. Kind of wrapping it up, communication's complex. I encourage you guys to really think about being aware of all of your communication. Well beyond just the words, your actions. What are people thinking? Try to be aware of situations. Then I'm telling you, this is where I struggle. Try to be aware of situations where you do things that might be the right thing, but it sends the wrong message. And you need to do something. One thing that Doug hammered on me back a while about, he's completely right on with my email issues. Doug said, come on, Quinn, at a minimum, send me a short little email that says you got it. Just send me something. Throw me a bone, right? Give me something that I know. You're there, you got it, and you're thinking about it. Because when it just drifts out into la-la land, and I don't ever say anything, you think I'm being a jerk, and I probably am. Say what is needed. Don't say what isn't. Take the risk occasionally of not saying everything that you want to say. I'm telling you, there's so often that all that needs to be said is a very small amount. You don't need to say the whole deal. I've seen people be completely destroyed over these things where somebody wanted to say, you know, I just didn't like the way you did that. But instead of that, they said, I didn't like it because you're ka-chick, 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 and you're ugly, and you're, you know, and just on and on and on and on. Just say what needs to be said. Don't rush into responses, but don't leave them hanging. It's a balance, and it's a very difficult balance. I'm telling you, communication is incredibly complex. Incredibly complex. I hope you guys, this was just a lot of little nuggets today, but Jill and I kind of sat down and went through these and kind of picked them out. As I think of Jesus and I think about some of the things I read to you earlier, I just think he was a master. I mean, I think, you know, being aware of all your communication, he was just the master at it. He wasn't someone that just went on and on and on when it didn't need to be gone on, but he also was the guy that said it when it needed to be said. I struggle with that. There are times something needs to be said, and it's just easier to not say it. Easier to not say it. Say what is needed. Don't say what isn't. Don't rush into the response. Don't leave them hanging. You guys got any thoughts? Herb. I really think, Herb, that each Thursday night, Herb and I and some others get together and play music. And but it's so much more than music, I'll tell you guys. We usually spend some time chatting in the beginning about things that we're struggling with in life and what might be going on. I spend some time praying together. It's beautiful. Some of you guys come here for a late Wednesday evening confession time. And, you know, it's face-to-face, guys. It's where the rubber hits the road. It's beautiful. It's an awesome thing. So, yes. Yeah, it's a great point, and I agree. When I people hear how much I dislike Facebook, it's really not fair because it, as my friend from Arizona told me, it can be a completely beautiful thing. There are certain situations where it's totally, totally amazing what you can do with that tool, but it can also be used in an area where it shouldn't be used. Yeah. Anything else, guys? Let's pray. God, God, communication is it's a tough thing. It's an area that I fail in often, and I'm sure there are others here that are like me. God, we ask that that you'll guide us and that we will gain much wisdom in this area because it's such a big deal. God, we ask that we'll know and have a better understanding of when our communication is holy and when our communication isn't. God, I ask that as a community here, that we'll figure out how to get more and more bonded. God, the living room's a pretty loose group, at least it has been in the past. And there's times that we could do things much better, that we could share better, that we could inform people of what's going on in a better way. God, I ask that you will help me and help Brandon and help Doug as leaders here so that we'll lead well and so that our shortcomings, be it communication or something else, that we won't be afraid to admit to those. God, we ask that as a community, we can speak the truth, but we can do it with grace. We ask that you'll help us to avoid being sneaky. We ask that you'll help us to do the things that increase our integrity. Do the things that help us to trust each other. Have the grace to trust each other when needed. And have the wisdom to realize when a brother or sister needs a little help. Help us to love. And help us to be the children you want us to be, God. We love you. Amen. All right, guys. If you've got kids upstairs, please go rescue them.